We all know the type. The manager who points fingers, blames the team, and ducks accountability. Every time something goes wrong, it's easy to spot. And let's be honest, it's infuriating. But here's the kicker. This isn't just bad behavior. It's a leadership disaster. Blame culture doesn't just hurt morale, it crushes trust, paralyzes creativity, and drags the entire project into the ground. So today, I'm tackling a problem that plagues projects everywhere. Bad management that refuses to take responsibility. And today, I'm cutting through the excuses and digging into why some managers fall into this toxic pattern. And more importantly, how they can climb out of it. Taking responsibility isn't a weakness. It's a game changer. And when leaders own their role, they don't just save their teams, they save their projects, and they save their careers. I'm Wayne Robertson. Welcome to Ignoring the Rules, the podcast that calls out the real issues holding businesses back and offers bold solutions to fix them. And so, if you ever worked under a blame-shifting boss, or maybe been one yourself, this episode is for you. Let's get real about what it takes to lead with integrity and turn the tide on bad management. So, ready to shake up the status quo? Let's dive in. Hey folks, I've become an expert on some of these problems because I've caused them. I don't need to have any examples given because I've been them. And by the way, when you hear a manager say, let's not overcomplicate this, they're about to make it complicated. That's usually what happens. And when you hear them say, this is above my head, the first thought is, okay, who's actually running things here? And one of the things I found, especially later, after I got many years of experience, I'll leave this in your capable hands, which is another way of saying, your problem now, dude. Handle it. And if your manager says, we need to give it 200%, well, that means that giving it 100%, which you have been doing, is not unrealistic enough. And you often hear that failure is not an option. Actually, it is. You want to try things you can. I'll do a podcast sometime. One of the episodes will be on failure and how important it is. I don't have permission to tell actual stories from what happened when I was working. So the following story is fictional. However, it's based on some true principles and it's been developed across a number of different companies and people and teams. No one individual group did this, but it gives a good understanding of the problem. So today's story is about Scott. He's a project manager whose refusal to take responsibility nearly cost him his team, his reputation, and his career. Now, Scott had the technical chops to lead major projects, but when it came to leadership, he had one glaring flaw. Nothing was ever his fault when deadlines were missed or even mistakes made. He had a go-to strategy, and that is blame somebody else. The design team didn't deliver on time? Not their problem. A coding error slowed the project? Not his issue. Why didn't the developer catch it? And even when his directions were unclear, or his decisions led to roadblocks, Scott always found someone to pin it on. At first, the team tried to stay optimistic. They assumed he'd grown into the role, but as the blame continued, morale plummeted. No one felt safe making decisions or taking risks, because they knew that he would throw them under the bus at the first sign of trouble. And the final straw came during a major presentation to upper management. Scott was leading the project, but when the deliverables fell apart, he publicly blamed the team, calling them unorganized and careless. And the team was furious. They had been working overtime to meet his unclear expectations, and then only to be humiliated. Now, behind the scenes, frustration boiled over. Most of the team quietly began looking for other jobs. Some vented to HR, while others went directly to Scott's boss, detailing the toxic environment. And upper management quickly realized that Scott was the root of the issue. They confronted him with the team's feedback and stark metrics that just highlighted the project's failures under his leadership. It was a very tough meeting for Scott, but it was clear. If he didn't change, he would lose his team and very possibly his job. For the first time, Scott was forced to reflect. Upper management brought in a leadership coach to work with him, and while Scott was resistant at first, the feedback eventually hit home. The coach didn't just tell Scott to take responsibility. They showed him how. So Scott learned the importance of owning not only his decisions, and this is really important, but also the actions of his whole team. He practiced apologizing when he made mistakes, reframing failures as opportunities to grow, and asking the team what they needed from him to succeed. Rebuilding trust was slow and awkward. He began holding regular team meetings, not to assign blame, but to encourage open dialogue. And he invited feedback on his leadership role. It wasn't easy to hear, but he listened. And when mistakes happened, he stopped pointing fingers and instead, and this is critical, asked, "How can we fix this together?" So little by little, the team began to see the change. Scott started giving credit where it was due, celebrating successes, and defending his team when challenges arose. Morale improved, and the team began to work together more cohesively than ever. So, by the end of the next project, Scott's transformation was undeniable. The same team members who had been ready to quit were now thriving under a manager who had learned to lead with accountability and integrity. Scott's journey is a powerful reminder that leadership is not about perfection. It's about ownership. When leaders stop blaming and start taking responsibility, they don't just save their projects, they save their teams. So whether you're a Scott, or you work with a Scott, or report to a Scott, know this: change is possible. But it starts with one simple step, owning your own role. Great leaders don't point fingers, they roll up their sleeves, and they get to work. All right, so let's take a look at what happened. How did he pull this off? Well, as we heard, Scott didn't just wake up one day and decide to change. It took a series of gut punches to force him to confront his toxic behavior. And the journey was not easy. But through a mix of hard truths, deliberate steps, and sheer effort, he transformed from a blame-shifting disaster to a leader worth following. So let's take a look at how he pulled that off. So the first step, and this one's always critical to go first, and the hardest probably, facing the brutal truth. After Scott's team had enough and upper management intervened, he was hit with unvarnished reality. He was the problem. HR reports, direct complaints, and dismal project metrics painted a picture that he could not ignore. His leadership style was sinking the ship. And during a meeting with his manager and leadership coach, Scott was asked point blank, "What do you think happens when you blame your team? And why do you think they're looking for other jobs? And to be honest, that question shook him. Because for the first time, he realized his actions were driving away the very people he depended on. Step two is important here, owning the damage. So he started his journey by acknowledging the harm he caused, and instead of brushing under the rug, he took responsibility head on. So what he did to the team, he called a meeting and opened up with a raw admission. He said, "I've been blaming you all for problems that were my responsibility, and that's on me. I want to change that, and I need your help to do it." And it wasn't just words. His tone showed he meant it. Then to management, he met with his boss and the leadership coach to outline a plan for change, showing that he was serious about his behavior. Accountability was the first step in rebuilding trust. His team needed to hear him admit he was wrong before they would ever consider forgiving him and being willing to work with him. The next step is, ooh, painful. Been there, done that myself. You need to swallow your ego. He realized that his ego, the need to always be right and in control, was the root of his issues. And so to rebuild relationships, he had to let it go. So what did he do? Well, he stopped deflecting blame. In meetings, instead of pointing fingers, he started saying, "That's on me, let's work together to fix it." He also invited criticism. He created anonymous surveys for team feedback and encouraged his team to be brutally honest. And he took advice. He began listening to his leadership coach and his team, and when someone proposed a solution, he said, "Hey, let's try it," instead of instantly saying that won't work. So, by showing his vulnerability, he signaled that he was willing to learn that the team's input actually mattered. The next step, turning words into action. So acknowledging mistakes wasn't enough. You need to show through action that Scott was serious about changing. So here's what he did. He publicly defended his team in a high-stakes meeting with upper management. He took responsibility for a missed deadline instead of letting his team take the fall. "We missed the mark, and I should have given clearer guidance. And here's what we're doing to fix it." Shared wins. Scott began by crediting his team for their successes. Whether it was an email or a shout-out in a meeting, he made sure that everyone knew who was driving results. Oh, and new team ideas. He implemented them. When his team suggested a new workflow to prevent bottlenecks, he didn't resist. He liked it, and he championed it. So action speaks louder than words. And Scott's team need to see consistent changes before they begin to believe him. They were so skeptical. Now he had to rebuild relationships because he had blown things up. His relationship with his team was in tatters. To fix it, he needed to go beyond surface-level gestures. He started with one-on-one apologies, really important. He met individually with each team member to personally apologize for his behavior and ask how he could do better support moving them forward. And what's really important right there is to stop talking and to listen. Also, frequent check-ins. He scheduled regular one-on-ones, not to micromanage, but to ask, "How are you doing? What do you need from me?" He also created a safe space. He assured his team that no idea or mistake would result in blame or humiliation or even firing. He backed it up by handling issues with solutions and not finger-pointing. And these personal touches helped rebuild trust showing team members that Scott was truly invested in their successes. The next step was building a collaborative culture. He realized that collaboration, not command and control, was the key to long-term success. So he started with team problem solving. So instead of dictating solutions, he invited his team to brainstorm during meetings, ensuring everyone's voice was heard. He also had shared accountability. He started by using phrases like, "How can we fix this together?" And also encouraged risk-taking, which is so important. He fostered an environment where mistakes were seen as learning opportunities, not failures to punish. And so this shift made the team more engaged, more creative, and willing to take ownership of their work. So what happened? What's the results? So team morale soared. Once disengaged and ready to quit, his team began to thrive. They felt valued, they felt heard, and they felt respected. There was also improved project outcomes. With the team's renewed collaboration and Scott's support, the project moved forward with fewer roadblocks and higher quality results. And leadership redemption, Scott earned back, eventually, didn't go fast, eventually earned back the respect of his team and upper management, proving that even the most toxic leadership habits can be overcome with effort and accountability. And so his story is proof that no leader is beyond redemption if they want to change, and that's critical, if they want to change. Well, because change takes courage, and it starts with one critical step, owning your mistakes. And when leaders take responsibility and empower their teams, the results are nothing short of transformative. I want to dive in to take a look at why employees avoid taking responsibilities for mistakes. I've done that so often. I'll be honest. I just shudder at the things I did in the past where I didn't want to take responsibility for mistakes. Because employees resist owning up to mistakes for a wide variety of reasons. Often it's tied to fear, workplace culture, personal mindset. There's a variety of things. So here's why they're going to be afraid. First is fear of punishment. Because employees worry about being reprimanded, penalized, or even losing their job if they make a mistake or admit to it. A workplace with a blame-heavy culture can make employees hide errors rather than take ownership. Another one is fear of damaging their reputation, because admitting mistakes may make employees feel incompetent or incapable in the eyes of their colleagues or supervisors. And so an employee may fear losing credibility or being seen as less valuable to the team and may be afraid of being cut. Another one is lack of psychological safety. In workplaces where employees feel judged or ridiculed for errors, they may avoid taking responsibility to protect themselves. For example, a team member stays silent about their mistake because previous admissions led to public embarrassment. Also, you may have a poor leadership example. If managers or leaders themselves avoid accountability, employees will probably mimic this behavior. And a leader who constantly blames others creates a culture where responsibility is passed around like a hot potato. Another one is perceived unfairness. Employees may feel they're being blamed for something that wasn't entirely their fault or was influenced by external factors. So, for example, an employee resists taking responsibility for a missed deadline, which was caused by unclear instructions or unrealistic timelines. Another one is a lack of ownership mentality. Now, some employees don't feel personally invested in their work, so they don't see mistakes as their responsibility. This is a clock-in, clock-out mindset, where employees do the bare minimum which leads to a lack of accountability. This next one is a biggie. I've suffered from it, and almost everyone I know has suffered from it. Perfectionism and ego. Employees who strive for perfection, that's almost everybody, may struggle to admit they're capable of making mistakes. For example, a high-performing team member hides an error to maintain their image of being great and flawless. Another reason may be fear of conflict. That's really hard on some people to have conflict. Owning up to mistakes can lead to uncomfortable conversations or tensions with teammates or supervisors. A team member avoids admitting they dropped the ball, for example. That prevents awkward or heated discussions. Another one is pressure to perform. Now, high expectations and tight deadlines can make employees more focused on covering up mistakes than resolving them. For example, a salesperson fudges numbers after failing to meet the target to avoid immediate scrutiny. Another one is lack of confidence. Employees who doubt their abilities may feel vulnerable admitting errors and worrying it'll confirm their insecurities. This can happen especially to the younger folks. For example, a junior employee doesn't represent a mistake because they fear being labeled as not ready for the role. Another problem is the lack of clarity on the roles. And employees may avoid responsibility if roles and expectations are unclear, leading to confusion about accountability. For example, a team member argues that wasn't my job when confronted about an overlooked task. Another problem is toxic workplace culture. A culture that rewards individual success over teamwork or punishes mistakes harshly discourages accountability. So employees prioritize self-preservation over admitting errors in a cutthroat environment. Another one is career stagnation, because employees may believe admitting mistakes will limit promotions, raises, or other career advancement opportunities. So an ambitious employee downplays their errors to avoid being seen as a risk in the leadership discussions. This is a big one, lack of trust in management, because employees may avoid responsibility if they feel management is unsupportive or exploit admissions of fault. So, for example, an employee avoids reporting an issue because they expect their manager to overreact and blow it way out of proportion. Misaligned incentives. Workplaces that prioritize metrics over quality can lead employees to prioritize results over honesty. For example, a worker covers up errors to meet unrealistic targets or avoid missing a bonus. So these barriers highlight the need for managers and organizations to foster a culture of trust, fairness, and psychological safety. And by addressing these underlying issues, employees will feel comfortable taking responsibility, which ultimately strengthens the team and improves outcomes. Okay, we've talked about management and accountability. Now, let's talk about employees. Because accepting responsibility is a sign of personal growth and professionalism. So let's take a look at some of these for each employee. First, acknowledge the problem. Reflect on how often you deflect blame or avoid owning up to mistakes to you or your team. Be honest with yourself about how this behavior affects your work, your colleagues, and your reputation. Because it matters. Recognizing the issue is the first step in fixing it. You can't change what you won't admit. And stop the blaming. The next time something goes wrong, resist the urge to blame others. Pause and think about your role. What did you do? And shifting blame damages relationships and trust. Owning your past shows accountability and maturity. Another thing is embrace a growth mindset. So view mistakes as opportunities to learn, rather than failures to avoid. Ask yourself what went wrong. What could I have done differently, and how can I prevent this from happening again? A growth mindset allows you to turn setbacks into valuable lessons, improving your skills and resilience. You also need to take ownership. When a mistake happens, admit it quickly and clearly and move on. That was my error. I'll make it right. And I take full responsibility for this and will work on a solution. Because taking immediate ownership builds trust and prevents the issue from escalating. Apologize effectively. If your mistake impacts others, offer a genuine apology and mean it. And keep it simple, like, I'm sorry for how this affected you. I'm taking steps to make sure it doesn't happen again. Because a sincere apology shows humility and respect for those affected by your actions. Also, focus on solutions. After acknowledging the mistake, shift your attention to fixing it. Involve others if necessary, and propose actionable items to resolve the issue. Because solutions demonstrate your commitment to improvement and to prevent mistakes from defining you. Also, accept constructive feedback. That's hard. I've done it. I don't enjoy it. When colleagues or managers point out an issue, listen without getting defensive and ask clarifying questions and thank them for their input because it's really good for you. Feedback is a gift. Accepting it gracefully shows you're open to growth and self-improvement. Also, reflect and adjust. After resolving the issue, take time to reflect on what you've learned. Identify patterns in your behavior and develop strategies to address them. Because continuous reflection ensures long-term change and helps you avoid repeating mistakes. Also, be transparent. Keep your team and manager informed about your progress in addressing issues. Share updates on the steps you're taking to improve. And transparency shows accountability, and it builds confidence in your ability to handle challenges. And you want to build a reputation for responsibility. Consistently demonstrate accountability. You can do it by meeting deadlines, delivering on promises, and owning both successes and setbacks. So over time, people will trust you as a dependable and responsible team member, and that enhances your credibility and actually also your career opportunities. And seek support. If changing your mindset feels overwhelming, reach out for help. Talk to a mentor or a manager or a trusted friend. Support from others can provide guidance, encouragement, and perspective as you work to change your habits. So fixing your attitude and embracing responsibility is a powerful way to grow as a professional and team player. And by owning your actions, focusing on solutions, and learning from mistakes, you'll earn the respect of your colleagues and position yourself as a true asset to any organization. And let's be honest, dodging responsibility might feel like an easy way out the moment, but it's a shortcut to chaos. When people, whether employees or managers, refuse to own their mistakes, they're not just creating frustrations, they're planting the seeds for distrust, low morale, and dismal results. It slows everything down. It drives wedges between team members and derails even the best laid plans. But here's the good news. Change is always possible. When people step up and take responsibility, not just for their own actions, but for their team's efforts, it's like flipping a switch. Teams feel supported. Trust rebuilds, and suddenly, the impossible becomes achievable. And imagine a workplace where mistakes are treated as opportunities to learn and grow, instead of ammunition for blame. Imagine leaders who say, "That's on me, let's fix it together." And teams that feel empowered to innovate without fear. That's what happens when accountability becomes the norm. It's not just about avoiding problems. It's about creating a culture where everybody works smarter, faster, and better together. If you've ever struggled to own up to mistakes or see the ripple effects of blame culture, let this be your wake-up call. Taking responsibility isn't just the right thing to do. It's the game changer your team and business need to thrive. And with that, we're out of time again. It goes so fast, at least for me anyway. Hey, thanks for joining me on Ignoring the Rules. If today's episode hit home, share it with a colleague or leader who needs this reminder. And please go to WayneRobertson.com for more information. All kinds of good stuff there on the website. And remember, great teams don't happen by accident. They're built by people willing to step up and take ownership. Until next time, I'm Wayne Robertson. Keep leading boldly.